Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by AMC Shudder. Try Shudder for 30 days for free. Go to Shudder.com, that's spelled Shudder.com, and use our promo code RGS. Stands for Real Ghost Stories. RGS. It's official. Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks will be live at the Crescent Hotel for one night only, August 11th, 2019, at 7 p.m. And you are invited. I'm Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, and I can't wait to meet you at the Crescent Hotel this August 11th for an awesome night of ghost stories. We're going to have a lot of fun at the Crescent Hotel that night as we record an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online live. The stories on this episode come from you guys, the audience, live at the Crescent. Then it's a live episode of The Grave Talks as we talk with Crescent historian and paranormal investigator Keith Scales. We'll learn all about the history of the hotel, how it came to be, why it's haunted today, what goes on at the haunted Crescent Hotel, and allow you guys to ask your questions as well with a live Q&A segment. It's a fun night full of ghost stories at the historic haunted Crescent Hotel, a hotel that we've had many stories from shared about over the years here on the show. Tickets are only $25 a piece and are on sale now. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com and click on the Live at the Crescent Hotel banner to purchase yours. They are very limited, though, and when they are gone, they are gone. Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks live at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, August 11th, 2019. Get your tickets now at realghoststoriesonline.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a heavy presence torments a couple late at night. A group of children find comfort in each other's arms late on a terrifying evening, and a woman makes the transition from godmother to fairy godmother. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802, the phone number to call and share your real ghost story with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just dial that number and chat away, or you can write in your story, send it in through our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the show, become an extra podcast person, an EPP is what we call them. We get bonus episodes of the show every single week, brand new one that comes out for you, exclusively for EPPs. Advanced episodes, a free e-copy of our book, Haunting Encounters, Real Ghost Stories Told by Real People, and more. It's all there, ghostpodcast.com or through Patreon, same stuff there, patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm congested, but I'm okay.
You're congested, but okay.
My head's full of snot, at least on one half. One half of my head, the other half is fine.
That's special. Do you feel like it's weighted? Like, does like half your head like kind of like trying to tilt a little bit to one side?
No, not really, but it's just weird. I feel like this half is swollen, uh-huh. But this half is not.
Kind of looks swollen.
Thank you.
It looks almost like you hit a wall or something. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Completely kidding. But no, that's annoying when it's like, because it's like, why is this, you know, like that? And time to go to the doctor.
I think it is.
Yeah. They'll stick something up your nose and they'll fix it. That's what they usually do.
No.
Yeah. It's just like a big, like they don't do the Flo-Bi thing with you.
No.
It's like a vacuum. It's like Mr. Thirsty.
Oh, at the dentist.
Yeah. But they do it at the doctor now and it just.
No.
Like my sound effects there.
That was gross.
That was disgusting when you're thinking about what we're talking about. So yeah. Now don't ever stick anything up your nose. That's not advice, and you should never do that. So I was completely kidding. I never understood children who did that, like when I was a child. I'm not saying it as an adult going, I don't get why kids stick things in their orifices. You know, I'm more so like why the hell did kids, when I was like 4 or 5, I remember like kids like sticking, you know, like crayons in their nose and like dandelions in their ears. And I just like look at these kids like, what the fuck is wrong with you? as a 4-year-old is what I was thinking.
Sure. I was not one to stick any toys or candy or anything in my ears or my nose, but I knew plenty of kids that did.
I know you did.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the first questions I asked you on our first day, because it was like a qualifying question of, it's like, did this person as a child ever think that it was a good idea to stick crayons in their nose or clovers or whatever? And if the answer was yes, I probably would have been like, oh, I got a call at the appetizer and would have been out of there.
Right.
It was just like, if it's just, it's a measure of intelligence. I'm kidding. So many kids do that stuff. I don't know. As a kid, I just never did.
But I was always scared to get stuck.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I don't know. To me, it was just like common sense, but I don't know. It was just kind of one of those things.
Okay.
I judged a lot as a 5-year-old.
You still do.
No one met the bar.
You still judge 5-year-olds.
I do. Just like, what the hell's wrong with your friends, Harper? The thing is, Harper does this. She's like, I don't know what the hell's wrong with me either. So there you go. It's a judgy family. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. It's a horrible line. You still judge 5-year-olds. That's kind of true. Let's go to our next story. It says, hey, guys, I appreciate the time you guys take on reading this. I have one short one and a recent sleep paralysis one, which was my first and so far the only experience. But I'll first share the shorter one. The other day, about 2 days ago, I'm on the couch at my mom's in another room, and I'm in the living room watching TV, lying down. Then I played sat up on the couch so I would go to sleep so I can get some decent sleep. This is where it got weird. As I was sitting there, I felt a playful touch on my right shoulder. I could see someone out of the corner of my eye. What they were wearing is what I didn't catch at first, which is something my mom or father wouldn't wear. They had on white robes or clothes. The more that I got the chance to catch what they were wearing, and I thought for a second it was my mom bugging me, so I turned and said, quit poking me. But I stopped halfway through because as I turned, what I saw, it simply disappeared. I went back to my mom's craft room and she was sitting there doing her thing, so I know it couldn't have been her and my father wasn't home. It didn't frighten me as much as it confused me to what I just experienced. Then, the sleep paralysis experience. I just gotten finished watching the movie The Haunting, The Hill House, Haunting on Hill House, which was a good movie, but I feel it may have been something to do with triggering this next event. I'm not sure. The night I was watching it, I'd fallen asleep on my stomach. I woke up once and felt as if I was being watched or something. I did have the TV on, but it ended up turning off and completely. As long as the Xbox I had been watching Netflix on was on that night. Then as I got up to turn it back on, I turned it, the static sound to it. I didn't think much of it and put the show back on and fell back asleep, which is where this all began. I woke up. I didn't move because I felt as if I was being watched. Then I closed my eyes again, but woke again and found a black shadow standing over me, which was the way I was looking, and I couldn't move. Then the shadowy figure just disappeared. I felt a heavy weight on my chest, like I could feel myself sinking deeper, felt my bed sink. Another thing that made me very frightened was I could feel my feet being pulled. Felt as though I was being dragged off the bed and being lifted into the air just a little bit. I was trying to call for someone to answer me, but as I tried to talk, I just mumbled and nothing came out. Then I came to and jumped out of bed and turned on the lights. Felt my heart. It jumped out of my chest. My pulse was through the roof. I'd never been more afraid to be alone ever in my life. I only told my girlfriend about it, but felt like it would be a good story for y'all to listen to. It'd be great to hear what you guys think. The legs being pulled in the air and off the bed was a weird, strange experience. Look forward to hearing your thoughts and thanks for the amazing show.
I don't know about that being sleep paralysis, because usually you just can't move, but this actually, something moved this person.
So, sign of just plain old sleep paralysis when something physically moves you around the bed.
No, it's not.
That's what normally happens.
No, it's not.
Levitation?
No, that's...
Beds moving?
That's quite interesting, though, because, I mean, obviously they could see their body parts being manipulated and moved. So I think that's more than just sleep paralysis.
Like, you ever have it, like, where in the middle of the night you wake up and your arms or your legs are going, like, the wrong direction that they shouldn't be going? And you're like, how am I doing that?
No.
Like, contorting in strange ways?
I've not had that one.
I did the spider walk to get Oreo cookies last night. I couldn't get that out without laughing. I'm just picturing myself jumping out of bed, doing the spider upside down walk to the kitchen, getting an Oreo, dipping it in milk, and coming back and just hopping into bed.
Right.
It's completely normal. Sort of shit happens all the time. But no, it's, yeah, I mean, obviously there's something here that seems to sound a little bit more than just sleep paralysis. I wonder if the fact that they put such a little emphasis on it being anything more than sleep paralysis makes me wonder if they know deep down that maybe this is more than sleep paralysis, but the thought that maybe it's more is a little bit too much to handle.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I'm thinking too.
Well, deal with it. It's real.
No.
So.
No. Sometimes you've just got to figure out whether or not you can go with that thought. Can this be more than sleep paralysis or not?
True that. God. Deal with the real, yo.
Okay.
Wasn't that a saying in the 90s? Deal with the real?
I don't know.
Got to deal with the real. True that, yo.
Okay.
So, anyway. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like there's something going on there.
Mm-hmm.
For real. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. I haven't had sugar either. I've been drinking LaCroix.
Yeah.
So, back to the ghost stories in just a moment, but if you're wanting some great ghost story watching, you got to check out Shudder from AMC. It is a premium streaming video service all about freaky stuff. Yes, it is. You're not going to find like Fuller House on this. It's just awesome, creepy content. It's super serving fans of all degrees with the best selection of horror and thrillers. Their community revels in all things provocative, evocative, dangerous. It's all there for you, from ghosts to murderers to you name it. I love some of the documentaries on there personally. There's some really interesting history of horror stuff that I love to watch on there, where it really dives into like Stephen King, kind of behind the scenes. How did he get to be who he is today, and several others. That's some of my favorite things in there, because I'm kind of dorky like that. But there's awesome, awesome movies on there, original series, and you can't go wrong with this. $5.99 a month, or you can subscribe for a full year for $56.99. You get the largest, fastest-growing, human-curated selection of thrilling and dangerous entertainment. It really is like the Netflix of horror. You can stream it on all your devices. Literally anything: iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, Xbox One, Fire, Chromecast, Roku, Android devices. It is there. Okay. I have a gazillion devices and I have it on all of them. So check it out. Here's some of the their exclusive content. Their originals are really awesome. Dead Wax, the Shudder original. Horror Noir. That's a documentary. Got to check that out. Lizzie, Mandy, Monster Party, Puppet Master, The Littlest Reich, Stanley's Lucky Man, The Discovery of Witches. Some of the upcoming stuff I think some of it's actually out now over summer. Vengeance is Hers. That's a collection. Boar, The Night Shifter, The Ranger. The Ranger, I started watching that the other day, and I'm very much enjoying it. It's about some kids kind of being... Not kind of being tracked down by a somewhat insane park ranger. It's great. All right, check it out for yourself. Shudder, Shudder. Get it 30 days for free. Make sure you love it, and you will. Go to Shudder.com. Use promo code RGS. Stands for Real Ghost Stories. Shudder, Shudder. Use promo code RGS. Shudder.com, promo code RGS. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Eisen says, last year I became a godmother, a fairy godmother, as is my self-appointed title. Last month I was babysitting the godson, or the child, as we like to say, in an ominous tone. Ooh, it's the child. Bring me the child. That's what it says there, and so on. We also call him Boyo because it's funny. He's a placid baby, no lengthy screaming, carrying on, thank goodness. We don't have any children by choice, and I think some of the odd occurrences have something to do with my godson being present at the time. This happened on a Saturday night about 2 months ago. My man had gone out with the child's parents for the evening, leaving me holding the baby. Not really so. I've been little Miss Anacosta lately, working on music, or antisocial lately, working on music. It's the only way I can get it done. The child's parents have got him into a bit of sleeping routine and were under strict instruction to keep it that way. The kid comes with equipment along with a Peppa Pig DVD. As a fairy godmother and rational human being, I find Peppa Pig sucking in nature. So while here, the child watches the Mighty Bosch. Get some surrealism into you, boy. Smart 'em young. For Americans, it's not children's programming, but a bit like Sesame Street on acid. The child has just started crawling short distances, and bloody hell does this complicate things. Bosch is a good distraction for staying out of mischief. At about 7 o'clock, I put Bosch on and went outside for a cigarette. I know the role model of the year, anyway. From the front, I can watch him through the front window, and unless he's capable of teleporting, I didn't leave the blanket, rug, or playmat on the floor. After around 2 minutes, I heard a clunk clunk, which sounded like a mug being placed on the coffee table. The only object which I can imagine making that noise would be an ashtray in the center of the coffee table, far out of reach from mischievous hands. He hadn't moved around very much, only to change direction towards the foam worm thing on the rug. I'm sure it wasn't the DVD because it was louder than the TV volume. The boy was more concerned about the worm that didn't react to the sound as far as I could tell. At a standstill and a standalone, this isn't exactly submitted worthy, but it could have been anything mundane too. It's probably worth a mention because of what happened later. Later on at about 9:30, in preparation for the parents' return, I put a bottle in the bottle warmer. I don't know what these things are called. It plugs in, it heats the formula. While that was on the go, I took my mobile phone into the bathroom to switch it on to check for messages. The boy was taking a nap, and the phone makes a bunch of noise when it's switched on, so I take it into the bathroom, close the door, turn it on, put it on the sink, and walk out, closing the door behind me. As I walked back to the kitchen, I heard the phone go ping to indicate there was a message. At about the same time, I heard that I felt the movement of air behind and the sound of the floor moving as if someone had just rushed past behind me and gone into the bathroom. Then another clunk in the bathroom, a different kind of clunk than the one earlier. Things go bump at all hours a lot, but usually checking the source of the sound gives no answers. I ignored for things at the moment. A few minutes later, I went back to the bathroom, and first thing I noticed was the soap dispenser had moved from the back of the basin of the bench to the middle, on the edge of the basin. Pretty sure I didn't bump it when I put the phone in front of it. Position-wise, it doesn't make sense that I'd bump the soap dispenser while putting it in there. Then the absence of messages on the phone confused me. There was none, even though I'm certain I heard the go ping indicating that there was. I guess what I heard could have been a distant car horn, but the whooshing past me, the clunk, and then the move soap, I can't explain it. The child's parents were to return after 10, which they did. None of their gatherings that night had messaged me, so that rules out any of them, and no one has since mentioned me ignoring their message, so I guess it had to be something else that I heard. The child wasn't present for the next bit of bizarreness. My husband reckons this might be connected to my hearing the phone ping weeks earlier. He surmises there's been a displaced time sequence. He watches Doctor Who, and I don't. The editing of Atrocious is a big turnoff, but I agree with the displaced time for the next bit of weird. The 28th of March started out pretty normal. The only unusual thing about was the day's schedule usually happens on a Thursday, whereas this time it was a Tuesday. I usually have a free day on Thursdays and spend them working on my music, so this week it happened on a Tuesday instead. I got up at 5 to midday, not that unusual, but a bit later than I would have liked. 20 minutes later, I was into the studio, home studio, working away. A couple minutes after I started, I heard some footsteps outside of my door. I was the only one in the house. This room's door was open a bit, and the footsteps seemed to stop at the door. This is a regular occurrence at our place. Our rule is if it's just the floor alone, it could be the house settling, but if we hear a step or the carpet scuffling, it's probably ghosted. This was one of those scufflings in the hall, a runner, meaning carpet. We don't have a ghost that runs down the hall. Since this kind of thing is pretty common, it's likely it had nothing to do with what happened next. However, it's possible it does, because the way the footsteps stopped at the door suggested the attention was on me this time. Usually footsteps are heard doing something unrelated to whatever is happening. Whatever it was, I wasn't bothered. After a while, I took a break, went to the kitchen. kitchen clock said 1:20. Back to the grind after 20 minutes. It's 1:40. Had another break at 3:10-ish. Looked at the kitchen clock. The clock said 2. Now I just read the same clock a few minutes ago, and I swear it said 3:10 thereabouts. So I go check the clock in the lounge. It says 2. I figured I must be paying attention, and that was that. Back to it at apparently just after 2, according to the clock in the studio. Another break at 4:30. As I wait for the kettle to boil, I look at the kitchen clock, and it says 3:05. Go check the lounge studio, this time the bedroom too, and the clock says 3:05. Back to business at about 3:25. At this point, I'm thinking, right, I won't question this because I'm getting a lot done. Take another break at 4:40, according to the studio clock. Kitchen says 4:42. As I'm returning to the studio, I check the kitchen clock again, and it says 4 o'clock. So I go check the lounge and studio clocks, which say the same. Apart from the clock oddness, the mood in the house felt very normal. I decided to do a bit more until apparently 4:40. At about 4:40-ish, I go back into the kitchen and this time switch the radio on in the kitchen and wait for the time update. The radio guy says something or rather was coming up after the 5 o'clock update. So I'd sit through the traffic reports and what have you. At 5 o'clock, according to our house clocks, the hourly news update comes on and the newsreader confirms it was indeed 5 o'clock. I do have a shower at 5. All this time seemed to return to coherent normatically after 5 o'clock. About 5:20, I made notes of all the time weirdness. Again, at about 3:30 a.m., I made more notes on everything and had done as I had done during the day. It's normal for me to slog it out for over 12 hours. I'm used to it. I made notes on all that I'd done for the purposes of piecing together the changing clocks. I wouldn't normally take notes like this, taking into account the time it took to do everything. I got a crap load more done than I usually would earlier that day in a 5-hour day. Back to the question, though. What the hell was it? Did something happen in the area? Was it connected to what was going on in my house? I have no idea.
Okay, so it seemed like after she turned on the radio and listened to the time, the clock stopped jumping around. So the question is, did time really move, or was something messing with the clocks?
Just making it appear that way?
Yeah. And then once she turned on the radio, they're like, well, crap, we can't get away with this anymore because now she knows what time it really is.
I don't know. I used to just give out the wrong time when I was on the radio for the hell of it, just to screw with people.
Oh, that's awful. I would be so pissed if I had that happen to me.
I didn't. I'm kidding. That's a great idea, though. I should have done that.
No.
Especially in the morning. It's like, wake up, somebody's like 6:30 and it's like 9:30.
You'd get a barrage of calls.
Oh my God. That's a great way to get callers. Never thought of doing that. Great idea. I don't know. I mean, it's bizarre. I feel the weirdness. The way I can relate to that is I have that a lot, like in the middle of the night where I'll wake up. I wake up 2, 3, 4 times a night, depending on the night. And I have times where it's like I fall back asleep and I swear I've been sleeping for like 2 or 3 hours or longer. Because I'm thinking, all right, it's got to be pretty close to morning still. And I look at the clock and it's like 10 minutes since the last time I looked at it. And all of it, like, had a long dream. And the only way I can like think of it is like, well, how did I, and I can like think back to like the detailed parts of the dream. And I'll be like, that, there's no way I dreamt that in like only 10 minutes. But I guess maybe our minds process things a little bit different. You know, maybe it's almost like downloading the data. Like the data is just there.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, yeah, that was 10 minutes. Like you dreamt it in fast forward.
Could be.
Remember like when you used to be able to like, you could copy cassette tapes from one deck to the other. And some decks had like a fast dubbing option. Uh-huh. So you could dub really quick. Maybe that's what it's like. But it was always, I get tripped up on time all the time in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
It's probably just sleep, but I've never had it during the daytime hours. I mean, things feel like they're going really slow, but that's just that. I've never had it where it's like, shit, like the clocks literally went backwards.
Right.
I don't know what I'd do with that.
No, that would drive me nuts.
I think it'd be kind of awesome. You're like Groundhog's Day.
Except the rest of the world's going about normal time. So and you're off.
Yeah. No. Very bizarre. Thank you for sharing that story. 855-853-4802 is our number. At Real Ghost Stories Online, let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hey, Hi, guys. This is Corrine calling from Las Vegas. I had called last year. I had called in a couple stories, but one of them was about the connection I have with my daughter and the grandpa ghost that I think we had in our house in Texas. I know you guys get a million stories, but I just thought maybe a little refresher. Anyway, the grandpa ghost I thought was hanging out in her nursery. She was a baby and would hang out behind her little rocker recliner that we had in there. By the way, it's raining. My windshield wipers are going off, so that's what the noise is. If you're picking that up, I'm driving right now. Anyway, so I just had this epiphany about another experience that happened in that same house in Texas where the grandpa ghost was, and I just wanted to get your take on it because I'm kind of putting pieces together now, and I can't believe I forgot this. But when my daughter was a baby, about 5 months old, my husband left to another country for work, and I was a new mom in a dangerous city, and I was only 20 years old. And although we lived in a nice area, it's still like I'm by myself, I'm really young, I have a baby, and I didn't really know the city. So at night, I would call my friend who lived in Washington State just to have somebody on the phone with me because I was so terrified. So what I would do is once I would put my daughter to sleep in her crib, in her room, our room was across the house, I would close my bedroom door, my light would be on, my whole entire bedroom light, just it was filled with light. And I would close the, we had French doors to the bathroom that were solid, they didn't have glass. Anyway, so we had double doors to the bathroom. And so those were closed and all my windows were closed. I was like terrified that somebody could see in. So I made sure to have everything closed. But my lights were on and my TV was on. And so I'm talking on the phone to my friend with my friend one night, and out of nowhere, I really can't remember how it even appeared. It just all of a sudden this super bright white light just appears over the mirror on my dresser on the wall. And it's this really long, skinny, bright, bright white light just on the wall. And I just remember, like, I think I burst into tears immediately where my friend thought something had happened, and I'm freaking out, and I'm trying to explain to her what's going on, and she's like, don't cry. Like, what are you even seeing? And I'm like, I have no idea. It was the brightest, brightest light. And it ever so slowly just moved up the wall. We had pretty tall ceilings, and it was a vaulted ceiling. And it moved with the curves of the ceiling really slowly. And then when it hit, like, the angle up to the top part of the ceiling, it just stopped. And it wouldn't go away. And I finally got brave enough to get up out of the bed. And I went to the bathroom doors and checked, you know, where the doors meet. If there's a little opening, checked to see if there was light coming through there. Because that was the most logical angle that it would have come from had a light been coming out of there. Well, there wasn't anything. So I opened the doors and I'm like, okay, the window to the bathroom is completely around the corner. Like, there's no way in hell a light was coming through there at that angle and getting on that wall. But I'm still waving my arms and probably looking like a crazy person trying to recreate a shadow just so I could tell myself this is where the light's coming from. So it's not coming from the bathroom. I'm checking all the windows. I'm moving all the curtains. I'm just anything to try to create a shadow in front of it. Nothing's working. Like I said, my TV was on, but it's just a solid white light. It's not blinking, you know, with the TV changing and the lights and whatever. And my room was in the back of the house, and our house was surrounded by other houses. There was no back street, and even if there was a car back there, there's no way that it made that bright of a light in just that one tiny little sliver. And B, it wasn't a car light. You can tell the difference. And it was just probably like a little over a foot long and just a couple inches wide. It was the weirdest thing. But up until then, I honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, cannot remember if I had seen the grandpa ghost before then. I don't think I had. Because I remember the first time I ever experienced the grandpa ghost breathing on my forehead in my daughter's room when I was rocking her to sleep was when she was about 5 months old, which is when this happened. And it was right after my husband left the country. And it was not his first detail, but it was the first detail he had gone on after having the baby. So I still, to this day, don't know what that light was. I just know it terrified the shit out of me. It wouldn't go away. I stayed awake the rest of the night. I was so scared to even leave my room because it was close to the door of my bedroom. My bedroom was really long, and it was on the left side wall close to the door of my bedroom, where my bathroom was on the right side of my room, so I was fine, you know, getting up, going in there to check. And I just remember staying awake all night long and glancing up every now and again, and it was still there, and then eventually it just wasn't. I don't know when it left. I don't know how it left. But it was like 2 o'clock in the morning when I saw it, and I was on the phone with my friend, and I think my daughter would wake up like at 8 o'clock. So by 8 o'clock it was gone. I honestly can't remember how it left. I know I didn't sleep. And I was a nervous wreck, but now that I'm thinking about it, I want to say that after that day was when I first experienced the grandpa ghost that I feel would protect my daughter in her bedroom, even though I was freaked out by him. And I never saw him. I just had this feeling of a grandpa presence just standing behind her chair watching over her. I'm wondering if maybe that light had something to do with the sudden presence of this grandpa ghost that would watch over maybe both of us, maybe not just my baby, just to protect us since my husband wasn't there. I don't know. But I was just thinking about it right now. I'm like, I totally forgot that experience happened, and I wonder if that was the beginning of Grandpa Ghost. I never saw that light again after that day, but I did experience Grandpa Ghost for the whole time we lived there. And that was, let's see, we left that house 14 years ago when my daughter was 3, and she still yells at me for not inviting Grandpa Ghost along with us. But at the time, I was pretty terrified. So I wasn't, and I didn't know you could invite ghosts to come with you. So anyway, I'm here in Vegas waiting for you guys to come visit me. There are some very cool ghost tours to go on. There's an old saloon out in Good Springs, Nevada. It's about 20 miles, maybe 30 miles away from Vegas. It's a 100-year-old saloon. There was a shootout there. The bullet holes are still there. It's a really cool place. You can go by yourself and tour the town. They have old cabins that the miners used to live in that you can go see, and or you can book the tour and go on the tour, either way. And I mentioned to you guys before, there's the Zach Bagans Haunted Museum. I'm not exactly a fan of Zach Bagans. I don't really watch his show. I don't know about that. But the museum is really cool. It's a lot of serial killer things and just really kind of sadistic people. He has a lot of Charles Manson stuff and Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, John Wayne Gacy, Edward Gaines. There's a couple things that are haunted. There's a Dybbuk box and Peggy the doll, and the staircase from the house in Gary, Indiana that he had purchased that had those 200 demons in it. So it's a really, really, really cool museum. Jenny, you don't have to go to the demon-possessed item rooms if you don't want to. They are behind closed doors. They will warn you. You get the choice to stay out or go in. But it's a really cool place to come visit. So anyway, if you guys are ever in Vegas, I'd love to be your tour guide. I haven't been listening to the new episodes because I had caught up, and so I went back in time and started at the beginning, and I am only now back into February of 2015. So I'll be listening to a story, and I'll think of something to call in and respond with, and then I'm like, wait, that was 4 years ago. You're not going to know what I'm talking about. But anyway, I struggle with going to catch up with the new EPP episodes because I just had my EPP automatically renewed, or continuing on the way I am so I don't lose my spot with where I am in the podcast. So I haven't listened to new episodes in a while, but I'll get there one day. I'm thoroughly enjoying all the old shows as well because I'd never listened to them before. So I love the show. Keep up the good work, and I hope to talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Zach keeps buying all of the stuff I'm planning. I was trying to get you for like Mother's Day and your birthday and all that stuff. It's like there's all these lovely serial killer items.
Yeah.
I'm getting you Dahmer's fridge for your birthday.
Oh, thanks.
It'll be a great.
Yeah.
We can put sparkling water in it.
Right. That would be nice.
Horrible. Like whatever happens to some of that. I mean,
Well,
some of that stuff, is it like just in police evidence still to this day, or is do they?
I don't know.
I mean, like Dahmer's house was like, or the apartment building was torn down.
Yeah,
but you have stuff from like John Wayne Gacy and all this other shit. No, that's out there.
Uh-huh.
Makes you like, who held on to the stuff and how did it get out?
I don't know.
I'd be curious of the story more so than the item itself of like, where did this sit and how did it get to you? And who said, I want to hold on to this?
Right.
Initially.
Yeah, I don't know what they do with all that evidence.
Like years later when it becomes such lore and there's the people that become, you know, really obsessed with the serial killer type stuff.
Sure.
Serial killer culture, if you want to call it that. You know, I get now, I mean, I'm not into it, but I get why some people would be like, ooh, I have the chair from his apartment or whatever, you know, stuff like that. It's kind of weird, but to each their own. But right after it happens, like right after the shit goes down and he's arrested, he's in jail, the trial's going on. Is somebody, especially back then, uh-huh, with some of this stuff, who was sitting around going, I bet in so many years, somebody's going to want this or that? Or was it just like, well, it's a good couch. Might as well sell it at the restore. You know, or what? I don't know.
I don't know either. Yeah, I don't know. That's one more reason for me not to buy anything
secondhand
at all.
It's something I bet people think about a heck of a lot more today when stuff goes down. There's probably a lot more immediate conscious effort of, oh, that was a horrible killer. You know, you can see something on Dateline. It's like, wow, they like took out like four families. Oh my God. I wonder if I can get that kitchen set, that knife set. Like something like that. You know, there's probably people that inquire about stuff like that. That'd be the most disturbing thing to get if you're like a family member and you get this random call from somebody. I saw the story in Dateline last night about your brother. Yeah, that kitchen knife block that was featured.
Jeez.
Can I get that by chance? It'd be weird.
That would be weird.
So, anyway. Thoughts?
You know what I thought was maybe this grandpa ghost spirit came to be a comfort to her, not just her little one. And knowing that when it showed up in that light form, that it scared her, so it didn't come back in that form again. It mm-hmm. only came back as just the presence. And maybe that, you know, that was the same thing, but just like, dang it, I'm supposed to be here not to make you more scared, but to make you less scared, and I made you more scared, so I'm not going to show up like this again.
Yeah. Like, just like how a person would be like, oh, didn't mean to do that.
Yeah.
And just from the other side. Thanks for sharing that experience with us. We do appreciate it. Hey, we got the live show coming up August 11th at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas. Tickets are very limited to this, and they're getting more limited by the day. So if you want to go, be sure to claim yours now. You go to realghoststoriesonline.com. You'll find the link there. $25 a person gets you in for the night. We're going to do an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks. And there's going to be a little intermission where I'm going to do show tunes for everybody. We'll do requests, but it has to be like 80s or 90s theme songs. So I'm going to have a microphone. I can certainly do it. Jenny's going to hum the melody.
No, I'm not going to do any of that.
That's what she's going to do.
No.
Well, could you at least do like the backup for some of like, show me that smile.
Show me that smile.
Oh my God, she would have loved it.
I did it.
Don't waste another minute on your crying. You know we're near the end. This is together. The best is, come on, to begin.
I'm done.
As long as we got each other.
That was the most singing I've ever done on the show in, what, 6 years?
I think so.
Yeah. That's it.
People, there's somebody that does spit take right there. I'm sure. Like, holy shit. That's not Jenny. That's an imposter.
No, so, that was me.
That's why she sounds different, because it's not really her today.
No, it's totally me. So, my stuffed up glory.
There you go. All right. Anyway, get your tickets, realghoststoriesonline.com, and it'll be a fun night. If you like our program, want to get to all the extra bonus episodes and be a person that keeps us on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, at patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the content there, or just through our website, ghostpodcast.com. And you can sign up that way, too. Whatever you prefer. You got two options to become an EPP now. Keep us on the air. Ghostpodcast.com, patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to a historic episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, where Jenny sang.